We continue looking in the book of Daniel and looking again at chapter 3 today. And certainly a great, great story. I tell you what, I think those words are such great encouragement there. Nebuchadnezzar was so wicked, and yet we see the order that he gives after God demonstrated his tremendous power. And as we said before, you know, we see all the wickedness about us today. And we have to remember that the God of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's the same God today, the same attributes, the same qualities, the same power, the same sovereign rule, the same might, and we rejoice in that. And that the fourth person seen in the furnace, certainly the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this ought to be an encouragement. I know we see a great deal of wickedness about us, and people go through health issues, and there's financial issues and struggles and difficulties we recognize. But we want to see particularly that this God is the same God today, and we praise Him for it. He doesn't change, and we know that His kingdom, the kingdom of our Savior, will endure forever and ever. There'll be no end to it at all. There'll be no end to it at all. And so just be encouraged in that. And as I encouraged the people when I spoke at the Presbytery meeting on the 25th, and taking Psalm 96, it says, "The Lord reigneth, the Lord reigneth," and He still does. He still does. The Lord still reigns, and we rejoice in it. We've been looking at this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Certainly the Lord blessed them. They civilly disobeyed the authority. They were ordered to bow down to this golden image, and they refused to do it, that they would only bow before the Lord God of the Scriptures. And so they demonstrated that. The other part that they demonstrate for us, and we need to remember that, you know, when we're commanded to do things that are contrary to God's Word, that we're always ready to pay the price for whatever it is. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew. They knew that the punishment that would come was that they would be thrown into the furnace, but they knew also the deliverance that God would bring to them. And so, certainly a wonderful story that we have there. And we've been looking at, you know, that in our lives, there are fiery furnaces, maybe certainly not like this that we have here, but there are moments that come into our life that are a challenge to us, that may weigh us down, that may cause us sometimes to even doubt the things of God. I hope that's not the case. And there may be temptations that come that would cause us to bow down to the things of the world. We pray that they won't come, but we pray that we'd be faithful, diligent soldiers doing all for the glory of God. We know that there are certainly times of temptation that come our way when Satan brings certain temptations our way, but that we would be faithful to God, that we would be faithful to the one who loved us with an everlasting love and who's made us one of His own, and of whom we can cry out, "Abba, Father." We rejoice in that. And so we think about these trials and temptations, and that's what we talked about last week, Simon, and we want to continue with that this morning. And we were talking about that there's a certain sort of trial or fiery furnace that comes our way, which God even prepares for His own people. And there may be times, and some of you may be here right here this morning and suffering under some physical pain or physical need, and recognize that not all is well. And we recognize that, but yet we pray that we would not be discouraged by it, that we would trust in the sovereign will of God, knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose, and that we would have no doubt concerning that promise. We know that there are times when a strong man may be brought down low because of pain and health issues, physical health issues that they may come. We also know that there's a time of bereavement that comes. You know, in the loss of some dear loved one, in the loss of a spouse, might lose their mate, and these things may come, and certainly there's times of bereavement that come within the God, providence of God, because we know that it's appointed unto man once to die and then cometh the judgment, but we know that these things happen within the providence of God, these times of bereavement. And it was interesting when I went to see Evelyn last Sunday after we got the message about Helen passing away. And so I went over there to visit with her, and you could see right away, you know, certainly the bereavement that was there, very, very evident. And you know, in thoughts of things, wish we had done this or wish we had done that. But then also there were the thoughts of certainly that she knew that Helen, you know, went to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that was a great encouragement to her. And it was interesting to see there was the bereavement. Certainly, there, probably all of you here have experienced bereavement. But you also know the sustenance that God gives us. And we also know that there are times that come in our life where there's temporal losses and there's temporal sufferings that may come. You know, it may be in job difficulties. I know a lot of people, you know, in our nation today are going through a lot of job difficulties and financially. But there may be things that we engage in a temporal way or in a material way. And in God's providence, those things are taken away and we're without them. We're without them. But we're not without the one who knows our every need. We're not without the one who hears our prayers. We're not without the one who provides for us, and we rejoice in that. We also know that some of those trials that come our way, we read in Psalm 12. And we ought not to be surprised when these trials come our way. In Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Concerning God's people and His sustenance for them, it says that thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then in Psalm 66 and verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Sometimes we do go through that furnace, but it's to remove the impurities. It's to strengthen us. It's to make us stronger in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We also recognize that there are cases where people who were helpless and who get cast into a time of great trial and tribulation, or even in a figurative sense, into a fiery furnace. Here are these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were cast into the furnace. They were cast there. They fell in. And it said that they fell into the midst of the furnace. Certainly there may be times when we feel like that we're so weighed down by these sort of things that we may feel like that we're a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because there's just so much that weighs us down and we find ourselves in great difficulty. But we also want to see here that even though they fell down, they were sustained by God. And we have a promise in Scripture that speaks about that the floods may come, but will not be overcome by those waters, and the fires will come, but will not be burned by that. And neither were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego burned by these fires. We also recognize too, in regard to this, that even in the midst of these trials and tribulations, that we can rejoice. Because we know that there'll be deliverance that will come. I hope you'll read what's on the back of the white insert in your bulletin. I hope you'll read that later today if you haven't looked at it yet. But the blessings that come when deliverance takes us from these fiery furnaces. The blessings that come when we're delivered from those trials, when we're delivered from those difficulties in God's providence, and He lifts us up. We know that the Scripture says the steps of a righteous man or under the control of God, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds those that are His own. And we rejoice in that. That's a promise that's given to everyone that's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the Scriptures afterwards too, when these things come that cause us great heaviness. But we want to think about, as we think about different fiery furnaces, that is, trials and tribulations and temptations that may come our way. We also think about what's spoken of here in this passage in Daniel chapter 3 about what did these three men lose when they were thrown into the fire? What did they lose? In Daniel chapter 3, we read there, beginning in verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the fire exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. They had been loosened from that which had bound them when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They had been loosed of that. They lost their hats. They lost their coats. They lost their as it says there, hosen. Not one of their heads, not one of their hairs, not one of the hairs on their head or in their beard, not a single loss of that at all. What they lost was that which bound them. What they lost was what they bound them, as we read there in 3:24. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Did not we cast three men bound into the fire? The fire didn't hurt them. They were no longer bound when they went through this trial, when they went through this fiery furnace. They were no longer bound. They had been loosened from those things that had bound them. Many of God's servants never really know what spiritual liberty is until they've been cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. When they're loosed from those things that may bind them and haven't experienced the full joy and love of the Lord. Many are bound, are cast into such temptations. They're bound, they're fettered, till they get into the flame and the trial and the tribulation takes away those things that have bound us. Like the pure gold doesn't lose anything when it goes through the fire, except for impurities. The silver doesn't lose anything except when it goes through the fire, except for impurities. And they come out much better, purer, and we rejoice in that. We would think about that in our own lives, that if we find ourselves cast into difficult situations, as we said, whether it's physical pain or some other health issue or what it may be, or bereavement because of a loved one, that we have the confidence that God is going to work that for good, that beyond that experience, and we're not saying that the experience that we go through is good, but going through that, as we go on through it, that God's going to work it for good. We have the expectation that on the other side of it, there'll be blessings, there'll be a keenness of the presence of God and His sustaining His people. And we rejoice in that. We would lose what we're glad to lose, the things that bound us or kept us maybe not in service to the Lord as we should be. We think also that sometimes those things that happen because of hatred of the world for the things of the Lord. We think about going through that sort of the fire of hatred, brothers of the Lord. As we get into the time, as we'll be focusing upon the Reformation, and we think of those Reformation heroes, we think for a moment of Martin Luther, who, like other men, had some respect for his own character. He had some reverence, perhaps, for public opinion. And he might have been willing to pay some deference to the learning and authority of Rome for a time. But his course was clear. When he was excommunicated by the Pope, when he was removed from the Catholic Church, all was well for Martin Luther. He had been loosed. He was no longer bound to that. He takes the pronouncement that the Pope had issued, and it's called the Bull, and he thunders out. He says these words: "The Pope of Rome excommunicates Martin Luther, and I, Martin Luther, excommunicate the Pope of Rome. The world hates me, and there is no love lost between us, for I esteem it as much as it esteems me. War to the knife," said Luther. Luther was never clear till the world thrust him out, and he was freed from those things that had bound him. And by the grace of God, God used him in a mighty way. It's one thing to run the gauntlet of contempt. It's one thing to run the gauntlet of hatred by those who would just as soon have no believers around. It's one thing to run the gauntlet by those who would cry out that it would have been far better for Mary to have had an abortion than to bear Jesus Christ. It's one thing to run that gauntlet and to experience that hatred and might ask, why? Why would we be treated this way as we would stand for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? All we want to do is proclaim the truth of God. We want to proclaim His holy and infallible Word. We want to proclaim salvation by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way, you know, that He's the way, the truth, and life. And no man comes unto the Father but by Him. That's all we want to proclaim. That's all we want. We want to see people delivered from their sins, that they would know of life eternal. They would know of the forgiveness of sins, that they would experience the love of God in their life. That's what we want to do. We want to see standards of righteousness lifted up in this country, that we may have a place that has true freedom and that has true liberty, and where God's blessings are upon a nation. That's what we want. Why do we have to run this gauntlet and experience these sort of things? And when man has done his worst, as Nebuchadnezzar had done with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could say, what more could he do? He's thrown us into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter. He's done his worst, and now what have we to fear? When God delivers us from these things, these trials and these temptations and these difficulties that come our way, when we get on the other side of it, when God has delivered us from that, we can look back and recognize the great blessings that God has brought in our life and delivered us from those things. As a matter of fact, we're near an anniversary date. One man, some of you may be familiar with, a man of Reformation renown. It was on April the 14th in 1554, commissioners from Rome began an examination of three men, Hugh Latimer and Ridley and Cranmer. Latimer, because of his age, was hardly able to sustain the debate that took place as he was examined. So he responded to this council of inquisitors in writing, and he argued that the doctrines of the real presence of Christ in the Mass were unbiblical. The commissioners tried to demonstrate that Latimer didn't share the same faith that the eminent fathers shared, to which Latimer replied, "I am of their faith when they say well. I have said what they say well and bring scripture for them. I am of their faith, and further Augustine requireth not to be believed." Latimer believed that the welfare of souls demanded he stand for the Protestant understanding of the gospel. The commissioners understood that the debate involved the very message of salvation itself by which souls could be saved. After the sentence was pronounced upon Latimer, he said, "I thank God most heartily that He hath prolonged my life to this end, that I may in this case glorify God by that kind of death." To which the prosecutor replied, "If you go to heaven in this faith, then I will never come hither, as I am thus persuaded." Latimer was persuaded of that which the Bible taught, and had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Latimer was burned at the stake with Nicholas Ridley. He's quoted as having said to Ridley, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." Then the deaths of Latimer, Ridley, and later Cranmer, they were known as the Oxford Martyrs. It was actually commemorated in Oxford by the Victorian Martyrs Memorial. You can go there and see it. You can see that memorial is there even today, marked by a cross. And Latimer had said, "It may come in my days, old as I am, or in my children's days, the saints shall be taken up to meet Christ in the air. So shall we come down with Him again." Latimer is honored with Nicholas Ridley on October the 16th. That date coming up. Ask ourselves, why is it that Latimer, why did Ridley, why did Cranmer, and just a long list that we can state there, why? Why was it necessary that they went through, some of them, in a very real, actual, fiery trial and were burned at the stake? Why? Why did they have to do that? Yet it was in God's providence that that would take place. Never could a man more boldly confront the false teachings than these men. But under God, these men owed their liberty of speech and their liberty of conscience to the fact that the world thrust them out from all hope and its favor, and they paid with their lives. But they were delivered from that. And sometimes we ask, why? Why does the world hate those who are only concerned for the spiritual well-being of people, that they would be delivered from their sins by the sovereign grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast? And by God's grace and mercy, amazing grace, that saved a wretch like me. Why? Why does the world hate that? And Christ said, if I hadn't come, they would have had a cloak for their sin. But He's come, and now they have no cloak for Him. And you and I have no cloak for our sin except for the righteousness of Christ. And that cloak we wear so that we can stand before a holy God and confess to Him and know that we have life everlasting. Another thing to see here is that when we may be placed into a fiery furnace symbolically or in real life, it's often the means by which those things that bound us are broken, as we spoke of before. When the devil comes with temptation and cry out to you, "You're no child of God. You can't resist this temptation. You're going to bend and break under this particular trial or difficulty." Then we go straight to Christ. We go straight to Christ. We view His blood shed for us that we might have everlasting life. We view His broken body that we would be delivered from our sins. We view that which Christ has done for us. We view by seeing it revealed in Scripture. We view the cross. We think that when I survey the wondrous cross, we view that. But then we view the empty tomb. We view the resurrected Lord as revealed in Scripture. We review those things told us in God's Word concerning that. Then you and I can say the way Paul did, when I'm weak, then I am strong. When those difficulties come like that, when those trials and temptations and those fiery furnaces, figuratively, maybe, or maybe in some cases in reality, when they come, we can say with Paul, and Paul went through this time, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because we cast all our care upon Christ. We find our strength in Him, the one who is our Lord and Savior, and who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. One man wrote that many believers sing more sweetly when providence clips their wings. Many believers sing more sweetly when providence clips their wings. Some of you are familiar with the story of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. When the man lost his family at sea, and he was taken there later so that he might see where his family was lost, he sang more sweetly. He wrote, It is well with my soul. So when we read these stories about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and the difficulties that they faced and the difficulties that believers face today and the difficulties that Peter's facing, he's going to face this week. He's going to face it this week. And his health is horrible. He's got a lot of things bearing down upon him. That we know that beyond that time, that we can sing, it is well with my soul. Peter will be able to do that. Judith will be able to do that. You'll be able to do that. Let's look the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're thankful, Lord, for their deliverance. We're thankful for their obedience. We're thankful that You're the same God. And our Father, may we be confident in the promises that You've given unto us as Your children. And our Father, may we be confident that You will deliver us. That even the things that would try the souls of men, that You've ordained, these are for a good purpose and for Your glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to the white sheet that's in your bulletin. And we'll sing Day by Day and With Each Passing Moment. Let's all stand. Day by day, and with each passing moment, by to meet my trials here. my Father's wise bestowment. Worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly in part and pain and pleasure. And rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would be and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your day, your strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. And in every tribulation, and I know not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, in to take as from a Father's hand. Pleading till I reach the promised land. Let us pray. Now in the hand that is able to keep you from falling and to present you flawless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.